To be in the Gospel of Luke again this morning. Luke chapter 17 is where we're going to be. And if you remember, we began talking last week. We are looking at Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem. And as he journeys towards Jerusalem, what is he journeying towards? His death. He's journeying towards difficulty, isn't he? Think about that for a minute. If you know you're journeying towards difficulty, if you knew you were journeying towards your death, how would that journey be? Be rough, wouldn't it? You know, we've talked already in things that we go through that we've just mentioned in prayer time, things that are difficult. Jesus, as he was heading towards Jerusalem, it was a difficult time for him because he knew what lay ahead. But as he journeyed, we're looking at some of the things that he faced. Last week, we looked at a scripture in Luke that talked about Jesus said he was distressed. We don't think of Jesus as being distressed, but Jesus said that he was distressed knowing what lay ahead. And yet what we learn from that is even as Jesus was distressed, what did he focus on? Others. Not on himself, but others. And that's a recipe for us. To remember that when we face distress, the best thing that we can do is not wallow in it, not focus on it, but continue to focus on others as Jesus did. This morning, we're going to look at Jesus facing something else. We're going to look at Jesus facing, and this is an interesting word, duty. Duty. Jesus facing the duties that God had given him. And we're going to look at how he faced that. So Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 3. And if you found that in God's word, I'm going to ask if you'd stand as we read God's word this morning. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 3, this is what God's word shares. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be you plucked up by the root, and be you planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather you say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Does he thank that servant because he did the things commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we thank you that we can be here in your house. And Lord, I just pray for the next several moments that we are able to set aside just all the busyness, all the activities, all the just random thoughts that run through our minds. And I pray, Lord, that instead we're able to focus on your word, on the message that you have for each one of us, and remind us that you have a message for us, not for the person sitting next to us, behind us, in front of us, but for each one of us. So Lord, help us to take it personally. Help us to apply it to our hearts, to our lives, the way that we think, the ways that we act. Just let your word, Lord, change our hearts today. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The last verse, well, not the last verse, verse 10, says we have done that which was our duty to do. You think about that word duty and what it really means. It means it's talking about a responsibility or something that we are required to do. If it's your duty, that means that is what you are supposed to be doing, right? Right? Did Jesus understand his duty while he was here on this earth, his purpose? Absolutely. Over and over again in the New Testament, we can look at verses where Jesus talked about the duty that he had, the responsibility he had been given by his Father. If you look in John chapter 14, we're not going to turn there, but towards the end, Jesus says, as the Father has commanded me, so I do. In other words, whatever my Father commands me, that's what I'm going to be doing. Why did Christ say that? Because he understood his duty. He understood his responsibility. If you look in other verses, well, it talks about Jesus understanding that he was here to do his Father's will. Not his own, but his Father's. Over and over again in the Gospels, you see Jesus Christ saying that. And he says that because he understands and understood that that was his duty. And that duty wasn't just to come and to heal people, to perform miracles, but was also to die on a cross, wasn't it? Is doing our duty always an easy thing? You think of a soldier. And for those of you that have served, I'm thankful, and we should all be thanking you. But as soldiers, when they go into the battle, it's their duty to fight, right? Their responsibility. And what does that sometimes entail? Death. May require giving their own lives. Jesus, as he came, that's where his duty took him. A requirement, a responsibility to his Father to even give his own life. So as we think about duty, Jesus Christ understood what duty was all about. So here's the question, not whether Jesus understood his duty, but the question is, do we? Do we understand that we have a duty, a responsibility that God has given each one of us? And if we understand what it is, how are we doing at that? You know, if there was a, we're using the example of a soldier. If there was a soldier and he knew it was his duty to go to battle and to fight, and he said, oh, I don't really feel like doing that today. I know there's a battle going on, but I'd rather go over here. I'd rather stay home, maybe go out to eat, watch a movie. That fits my schedule better, and I think that'd just be better. What would you think about that?
It'd be a different world today.
It'd be a different world today. You're absolutely right, Jerry. But what would you think of that soldier, that person? Well, he'd be in trouble, that is for certain. You'd think him a coward? He's shirking his duty?
Right.
Yeah, but his duty's hard.
Right. That's true. Being a parent's hard.
Being a parent's, there are a lot of things that are hard. What if he said, well, but it's just difficulty, and I don't feel like doing that today. I'm not comfortable doing that today.
That's not what he signed up for.
What's that? That's not what he signed up for, to be comfortable. For those of you that were in the military, let me ask you a question. Was it all about your comfort to be in the military? Would you all agree and say no? For us as believers, we have a duty, right? Do we ever shirk that duty? Does God ever call on us to do things and we kind of have that same attitude? Well, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I don't really feel like doing that today. Is that ever you and I? Because it's not comfortable. We like to be comfortable, don't we? Now, come on. We all like to be comfortable, don't we? If I said we're going to replace all these nice padded chairs and we're going to go back to pews with no cushioning, how many of you would say, yay? You like to be comfortable, don't you? If I said, we're going to start saving money and we're not going to use the furnace anymore, so dress warm. You'd be okay with that, right? Or this summer, we're going to save money, no air conditioning. Why wouldn't you like any of those ideas? They're uncomfortable. We like to be comfortable. It's a normal part of who we are. The problem is we sometimes carry that over into our spiritual lives. We like to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. But folks, being a believer, doing the duty that God has put in front of us, often means you are going to be uncomfortable. Most of the things that we accomplish in life that are important are not comfortable. Being a Christian, being a believer, being who God wants you to be is not comfortable. And you know what? As Jesus here was sharing with his disciples the duty that they had, you know what? The disciples were not comfortable with it. They understood that it was difficult. as we began, look what it says in verse 3. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. What does that mean? Just that first little, take heed to yourselves. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror is what he was saying. Take heed means take note, pay attention. To who? Not the person sitting next to you. We're good at paying heed to the person next to us, aren't we? It says, take heed to yourself, not your spouse, not your parent, not your child, not your neighbor. Take heed to yourself. Think about your own life for a minute. Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against you, so if someone does you wrong, hurts you, lies to you, does something that you don't like, offends you, if he trespasses against you, rebuke him. What does that mean? We maybe like that part. I get to rebuke him. What does that mean? Reject, kind of.
Disagree.
Tell him. Let him know. And you know what? To be honest, sometimes we fail right there. We don't even sometimes get that far. If someone does us wrong, what do we sometimes do instead of going to them and telling them about it? Yeah, you might tell everybody else. Do you know what so-and-so did to me? Do you know what so-and-so said to me? Already, if that's the route we take, we're not following God's commandment, are we? Our duty. If someone trespasses against us or does us wrong, the first thing it says is rebuke him. Go to him and tell him about it. That is the first step. Not with anger in your heart, but to let him know there's a problem between the two of you. Right there, is that always an easy thing to do? Again, doing our duty, doing what God commands, doing what Christ asks of us is not always easy. I am certain in my life that there are times I have offended people. Maybe I've offended one of you. Something I've said without thinking, I do that sometimes. Something I've done, something I've overlooked, that happens. It breaks my heart to think maybe I've done that and I never knew about it. You were just upset with me, but never said anything to me. The thing that I would hope you do is come and said, you know what, it kind of upset me when you did. It's important for me to know that, isn't it? So I can correct it. So that's the first thing. Rebuke them. Let them know. And if he repents, what do we have to do?
Forgive him.
Forgive him. Easy to do?
No.
Not always. Sometimes, but not always. So, already the thing that Christ told the disciples here is maybe not the easiest thing to do. But Christ kind of throws another wrench in things and makes it even harder. Look in the fourth verse. And if he trespasses against you seven times in a day, isn't that what it says? In a day. Let's just look at the seven times. Forget about the in one day. Someone does you wrong seven times. What's your feelings at that point? Be honest. What are your feelings at that point? Cut them off. You're done with them. Anybody else? What's that? Don't want to see him again? Now, we're not just talking about someone doing wrong seven times to you, but it says seven times in one day. Now, how do you feel about that? How? What in the world is going on that they're doing you wrong seven times in one day? Guess what? That part doesn't matter, does it? It says if they've done you wrong seven times in one day, and seven times in the same day turns to you again and say, I repent, or says, I'm sorry, you shall, again, what does shall mean?
You will.
You need to. You better do this. That means it's a duty. It's a responsibility. It's expected. You shall do what?
Forgive
him. It's hard to forgive somebody once. It's harder to forgive them twice. It grows increasingly difficult each time we're required to forgive. But Jesus doesn't say, keep forgiving until it just gets too difficult. He just says, keep forgiving, doesn't he? He was giving the disciples a commandment here that was not easy. Did the disciples realize that? Yes, because look at their response. I think this is interesting. The apostles said to the Lord, what did they ask? Increase our faith. Why do you think they asked that? Yeah, they were saying, we're not sure we can do this. You need to increase our faith. You need to help us grow to the point where we are able to do this. So the question I would ask you now is, where are you at that point? Are you at the point where you say, boy, I need my faith increased before I'm able to do that? I may be a little bit in that category. But they said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord goes on to give an example. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. He's saying, with faith, when our faith is great enough, what can we do with that faith? We can do the difficult. And not just the difficult, we can do what seems impossible. Does it seem possible to say to a tree to get up and move, and it's going to get up and move? Does that seem possible? Doesn't, does it?
Maybe if you're God.
Maybe if you're God. None of us are God, though, are we? So it seems impossible. Christ is saying with our faith, as it grows and as it strengthens, these things that seem impossible now will be possible. It seems impossible for me if somebody offends me 7 times in the same day. It may seem impossible that I'm going to be able to keep forgiving them. But Jesus is saying, if you have a faith that is growing and is strong, you'll be able to do the impossible. You'll be able to forgive even when you don't feel like forgiving. And he went on and continued. Look in verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, says to him when he has come in from the field, go sit down and eat? So if you have a servant, they're out plowing the field, they come in, do you tell them, oh, why don't you go sit down and eat? Not if they're your servant, right? In verse 8, will you not rather say, make ready that I may sup and serve me till I have eaten, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? If this is your servant, you're going to say, well, go ahead, fix my food, I can sit down and eat. Once I'm done, then you can eat. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Being thanked for something that you're expected to do is what Jesus is talking about. Tammy, you're a teacher. You never give homework, right?
Oh, never, no.
She says never. Did any of you have her in class that are here? Did she ever give homework? Yes. You're lying, dear. I have evidence. I have proof. So you give out homework, right?
Sometimes.
Okay. When you give out homework, I know you do. I used to help grade it. When you give out homework, what is your expectation at that point?
That they do it.
So they do their homework. They turn it in. You say, oh, thank you so very much for doing your homework. That's just wonderful that you did your homework. Is that what you do?
No.
No? Why not?
Because that's what I expect them to do, and they should just do it and not need anything in return.
Because that's the expectation. It's not something you need to thank them for. That's what's expected of them. That's what they're required to do. And that is what Jesus is talking about. You know, sometimes we do things for the Lord, and we think, oh, the Lord, we should just get thanks for doing that. No, folks. It's expected of us. God doesn't need to thank us for doing it. It's the expectation that he has. And that's what he's talking about in this account, in this story. And look at verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all the things commanded you, here's what our attitude should be. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Whatever we do for the Lord, folks, guess what? We can't do enough. Do we understand that and realize that? No matter how much time we spend, how much energy we spend, it's the least that we can do for God after thinking about all the things that he's done for us. Forgiving people, even when we don't feel like forgiving them, guess what? That's the least that we can do. Because God forgave us. How many times has He forgiven you? How many times? How many times have you done something in your life that is against what it says to do here? Lie, cheat, steal, have thoughts that are impure, any of those things. How many times has that happened in your life?
Can't count that high.
Can't count that high? Is it more than seven?
Seven in a day.
Is it more than seven in a day? Are you glad that God continues to forgive you? Then, folks, the least we can do is show that kind of forgiveness to others. That is our duty. And you know, Jesus understood that, and He summed it all up. When the religious leaders asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said there's two. And this really speaks to our duty that is being talked about here. The two commandments, Jesus said, if you take care of these, everything else is going to take care of itself. This is our duty. So if you haven't listened up till now, pay attention now. Here it is. Jesus said the first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love the Lord your God. That's the faith that we're talking about. Our faith and trust in Him, our love for Him. Because the two things we're really talking about are faith and forgiveness. First thing, love the Lord your God. And what was the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Christ understood that that was really His duty. Did He love His Father? Again, He said over and over, my purpose is to do the will of my Father. Did He love others as Himself? He loved others enough that it took Him to the cross. He loved others enough that He was willing to forgive even the people that put Him on the cross. Again, when Jesus was on the cross, what did He say? I'm upset with you people. I can't believe you did this. After all I've done for you, this is the thanks I get. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus had His duty down. Doing the will of His Father, forgiving others, loving others. Folks, that's the duty that Christ faced. But it's the duty that He's also given us. Have the kind of faith where we trust in our Father, where we love our Father, where we love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And the second one, love others as ourselves. That means be willing to forgive over and over and over. Be willing to forgive even when you don't feel like forgiving. And you know what? That's the least we can do. It's our duty. It's what God expects of us. And you know, Christ used that word, I forget what verse it was in, verse 4. You shall forgive him. That's an expectation, isn't it? Isn't it? There's a challenge. Last week we talked about the distress Christ faced, and we learned from it, hopefully. This week we're looking at the duty that Christ had and how He fulfilled it. What can we learn from it? We have the same duty, to have faith in our Father and to forgive others around us. I pray that we accept that duty and that responsibility and that we take it seriously. And you know what? We need to pray that God gives us the faith to do this. We're like the disciples. They just said, Lord, increase our faith. We need help with this. You need help with this? Ask the Father for it. He will give you the help that you need to forgive others even when it's hard. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for not just what we can learn from it, but for the challenge that it gives us. Remind us that being a Christian isn't intended to be easy. You ask us things that are difficult, things that go against maybe our nature. But Lord, with the strength that you can supply, we can do what seems impossible. We can have a faith that will move mountains. We can have a faith that will help us to forgive even what may seem unforgivable. So Lord, help us to do our duty, to love you and to love others, to to accept your forgiveness and then to forgive others. Remind us of that as we go through our lives. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. We're talking about things that are difficult that we need God's help with. If you just want to come and ask God to help you, that's fine. The altar's open. If you want me to pray with you about something, that'd be wonderful too. But the altar's open as we sing. God has done so much for us. The least we can do is follow the commandments that He's given us, to love Him and to love others. Let's bow our heads as we close with prayer. Lord God, thank You again for Your presence in this place, for Your Word that we can read, that we can learn from and grow by. And I pray, Lord, that we take Your Word in our heart and take it with us and apply it as we go through our day-to-day lives. If we just hear it on Sunday and forget it on Monday, Lord, it's going to be of no good. But help us to carry Your Word in our hearts and to live it out. Thank You again for Your presence, not just in this place, but in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.